Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. Matthew 7, first six verses. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn and tear you in pieces.
Of the six verses that Steve just read, we want to concentrate our attention on Matthew 7, verse 6. There, if you will look at the passage, Jesus talked about using holy things with respect to dogs, giving them to dogs, and casting pearls before swine. Well, as with many of the passages in the Bible, we need to stop and think, does Jesus or one of the apostles mean this literally, or is a figurative expression under consideration? Well, of course, if the thought is literal, then Jesus would have in mind something like taking a Bible and actually tossing that into the pig pen. Most people realize that that's not the point, so when he talks about something being trampled underfoot, it points, the very nature of the event points to figurative language. If there is anything at all that is discouraging about being a Christian, it's very possibly the point that Jesus makes in Matthew 7, verse 6. We find people who either have no respect whatsoever for the Word of God, that is, they completely ignore it, or they treat it with contempt because they're only willing to obey part of it. When we find people who make either one of these choices, we should not be surprised, because this is exactly what Jesus warned about a long time ago. This morning, we want to take some time, look at passages from both Testaments, to illustrate how people have treated the Bible in the past with contempt. We will look at, again, both general passages and specific examples, and we want to start with the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, towards the end of the chapter, Proverbs 1, verse 29. God said, that there were people who hated knowledge. And as you look at that particular statement, I'm reminded of people who go to school. I was not real fond of school as I was going through those years, and there are still a lot of people today who do not really relish that experience. There are a lot of young people who cannot wait until they can finally get out of the classroom. Well, hating school is not the same as hating knowledge. There is a distinction between the two, and in Proverbs 1, it's just not so much hating school, but it's hating knowledge. Here's how the verse reads. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of Jehovah. This is the full thought. So these people, especially spiritual knowledge, they looked at that knowledge and they said, we don't want to have any part of that. We do not want to have any association with that. We're not interested whatsoever. In addition to hating a knowledge of God, the Bible also says in that passage that they chose not to fear Jehovah. Now, from our perspective, people who make this second choice may not be quite as bad as people who make the first choice. In our day and time, people may courteously tell us about the gospel, well, I'm simply not interested. Or they may say to us, I think someone else might appreciate your material, please pass it on to them, no thank you as far as what you're trying to offer. Since we started out sending out house to house, and that's probably been 3 years or so, we've had at least a dozen people either call us or send us a little note in the mail. About a dozen folks have said, please remove us from your mailing list. Well, if they request that and we're sending directly to that household, we honor that. But there are some other cases where we can't honor that particular request because it's bulk mail. So the post office has control over that. We do not. But we still have, because of that kind of reaction, people just like Jesus described. They're not really interested in the scriptures. If you look at Proverbs 1:30, the next verse, the thought is continued in a little more detail. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. So again, here are people who, as they look at God and spiritual knowledge, they say that's not for us. We do not want to have any association, any knowledge of that whatsoever. Moving now to the book of Isaiah chapter 5, verse 24, that passage is also going to be read. But as you're turning over there, you might stop quickly at Proverbs 13, verse 13. I'm going to cite that passage because of what it says, but not actually read it. In that text, the writer spoke of people who in their lives chose to despise the Word of God. This is a choice that anyone can make. People can look at the Bible and say, that's not going to be for us. We're not going to look at that book. We're not going to live by that book. That's not going to be our standard. But the writer said in Proverbs 13:13 that making that choice results in destruction. Well, it was not just Jesus and the proverb writer who knew about rejecting the word of God. There was a prophet, Isaiah, who about 700 years before Jesus came into the world, he dealt with this very same problem. In Isaiah 5, he dealt with the physical world. He used imagery to convey that same point that we have in Matthew 7, verse 6. And here's how Isaiah said it. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devoureth the stubble, and as the dry grass sinketh down in the flame, so shall their root be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have rejected the law of Jehovah of hosts, and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. If you've watched the news over maybe the last month, you've probably seen the recent fires in states like Oklahoma. Once those kinds of fires start, they're very difficult to stop. They ravage. They eat up acre after acre after acre of land. When people have contempt for the scriptures, Isaiah 5 says that they're comparable to straw in the path of a fire. And God says just as that straw, just as that stubble is consumed just like that, so that will be the result of people who make this choice. Heaven will, at the appropriate time, to destroy them. Moving from the book of Isaiah to the book of Jeremiah, and again, just citing these passages, the next book I'm actually going to read from is the book of Hosea. But Jeremiah is a fascinating book for a lot of reasons. We will read one passage a little bit later, but these citations now are just going to be that, citations. Jeremiah and Jeremiah 6, verse 10, had to deal with people who had closed their eyes and they had closed their ears, spiritually speaking, to the word of God. And as you look at what Jeremiah says in that part of his book and elsewhere, you really are reminded of small children. If you have children or had children, you probably had a situation where they just put the old hands over the ears and said, "I can't hear you." Well, they probably could, but they were doing that particular action to say that we're not receptive, we're not willing to listen, we're not open to what you want to tell us. Well, not being open to the scriptures is kind of like that in the sense that it's a way of showing contempt. The contempt may be open and blatant, or maybe not quite that open, but in either case, it is still contempt. As you think about contempt, that of course is an expression that we hear used in our culture. Typically, it's associated with contempt of court. A contempt citation means that there was an individual who somehow failed to show respect for the judge or something else associated with the court. Well, if contempt for an earthly situation is wrong, in this particular case, we'll use a court. If that's bad, then what about contempt for the heavenly court? If the lesser is wrong, the earthly, then certainly the greater is much severe. Two chapters later in Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 8, the prophet again spoke about people who had disdain for God's word. And he, in that eighth chapter, also reminded the Hebrews that disdain for the scriptures was a punishable offense. He said to the Hebrews in Jeremiah chapter 8, you're going to go into exile. God is going to banish you folks. He's going to take you into captivity because you have not been responsive. You've not been willing to listen to the word of God. Well, we understand banishment. Sometimes it's because of a TV show, or maybe we're reading a book, but we at some point in time have heard about someone who was banished. They were exiled to a place like a deserted island, and God said to his people in the Old Testament, if you refuse to hear my word, you deserve to be banished from my presence. And that's not only true in this life, but that's true in eternity as well. If we're not willing to listen to God's word and follow it, we deserve banishment from God for eternity. I said the next passage that was going to be actually read comes from the book of Hosea. And that's where we're turning next. Recently, someone told me that they are reading this book and they have found it to be a very, very fascinating book. Well, it is. And we're going to take a passage from Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. The nation of Israel had appointed some leaders, and they had appointed leaders without God's consent. They did not seek heaven's guidance on this matter. Therefore, time for punishment was coming, and the nation, God said, was going to be pleading for help. The circumstances would be so dire. God said, you're going to appeal to me. You're going to come to me and beg just as hard as you possibly can. But God said, I'm not going to listen. God said through his prophet, just as you closed your ears to me, God said, I'm going to close my ears to you. Israel would have to take her contempt punishment for being unresponsive. And here's what the prophet says towards the end of Isaiah 8, or Hosea 8:12. I wrote for him, God said, the 10,000 things of my law, but they are counted as a strange thing. Now, this passage is a hypothetical passage, and it is also a passage where we have a hyperbole, that is, an exaggeration for emphasis. God said through his prophet, what if I gave Israel 10,000 things or 10,000 laws? Now, that's a lot of laws. I've never stopped to count up the Old Testament laws in the Old Testament. People who have done that typically come up with different numbers. But I can tell you that there is no one that I know of that has been able to find 10,000 laws in the Old Testament. They're probably closer to 3,000 or 4,000. But God said, suppose that I had given you this number of laws, 10,000 different stipulations, 10,000 different regulations. God said Israel was so unresponsive, they would have gone through each of those laws and said, there is not a single one that applies to me, God. 10,000 laws, and there is not one that has any application to us whatsoever. Now, can you imagine an individual being that unresponsive, or in this particular case, a whole nation? That's what God's people were like. That's how they lived under the Old Testament system, time after time. Israel, as an Old Testament nation, is a superb example of contempt. We'd like to say that that spirit is no longer true. It no longer exists. But it's sad to say that it does still prevail, both in congregations and in the lives of individuals. When people start saying, well, this passage or that passage does not apply to me, they're guilty of contempt. They're guilty of the very thing that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. After the book of Hosea, we, of course, come to the book of Amos. Not a real long book. He's kind of a medium-range prophet, and he lived in a time when there were other prophets. And in the second chapter, Amos chapter 2, verse 12, again, about two-thirds through the chapter, we have these words. But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Oh, these people knew who God's prophets were. They knew where the word of God came from, but they went to God's prophets and said, we don't want your message. No preaching today, preacher, at least not the message that you have. Be quiet is really a simplification of the thought. When anyone says that about God's word, in any form, then there is contempt. Micah 2 verse 6 dealt with people who had the same spirit. He was asked to say anything he wanted except really information from God, because the people said, you always have bad news. Anytime you preach, anytime you speak, Micah, we don't care for the information. And they said that you're teaching on the same old stuff, and that is disgraceful. Well, all these references come from the Old Testament, so someone might say, is there any information in the New Testament, the covenant under which we are under, that relates to this particular topic? Well, yes, there is. Let's turn to one of the Gospels, Luke chapter 16. One of the things that may spring to your mind from Luke 16 is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And if that came to mind, that's exactly the story that we're going to be looking at. We know from Luke 16 that there were two men who died. There was a rich man who was not very zealous as far as pursuing God's will in his life, and there was another man who was in a right relationship with God. His name was Lazarus. Both men descended into the Hadean realm where the deceased go, and the rich man was told as he was suffering that his fate was sealed. There was nothing that could be done for him. Not even the smallest amount of comfort was going to be given to him as he was in anguish. This man, by his life, had shown contempt for the scriptures. He refused to do what was right. There was rejection. And this fellow finally realized his plight, that there was not going to be anything altered as far as his circumstances. So he decided that if things could not be bettered for him, maybe things could be bettered for the folks that were his relatives and were still alive. Let's pick up with Luke chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. And he said, this is the rich man, talking to Abraham, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that is Lazarus, who was on the other side of the Hadean Gulf, send him to my father's house. And then he gives a reason. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. That's the request. Well, he got an answer, and the answer is in verse 29. But Abraham saith, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, this man realized something about the Bible, the scriptures, Moses and the prophets, and his relatives. What he realized, what he understood, is stated clearly in verse 30. And he said, that is, this man who was lost, talking to Abraham, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. A man beyond this life knew his family was showing contempt for the scriptures. He was aware of that. He didn't have to guess, because apparently he realized that they were living in the very way that he had lived. Now, they may not have been burning Bibles. They may not have been out cursing God, but they were not reading and following the scriptures. And when this man knew that one from the dead would not be allowed to go back and give that special sign, he said, oh, something surely needs to be done. Well, the Bible says this in the closing verse, verse 31. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Mark this down. If people have contempt for the Bible, Matthew 7:6, we cannot help them. We cannot help people who have contempt for the Bible. And we can go beyond that and say, neither can God help those folks. God will not have people aided through him if they have contempt for the scriptures. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 7:6, things that are holy, don't give them to dogs. If people are going to have contempt for the word of God, then that's simply the kind of person that needs to be left alone. Do not cast pearls before swine. Jesus practiced that in his life as he dealt with people. A very serious example of contempt is found in John 8:37. There were Jews who did not care for God's message, so they tried to kill the Lord. Contempt for the word of God was so strong, so powerful, so pervasive that people wanted to destroy the Son of God. Then in verse 45 of John 8, Jesus said that he spoke the truth, but there were people who would not believe him. They showed contempt for the scriptures. We can turn to both testaments and show contempt, but maybe one of the greatest examples that we have in either testament is once again found in the Old Testament. For a long time, let's say at least a year, I've been considering preaching through the book of Jeremiah. There's a lot of good information in there, but it would take a while. I'm not yet 100% committed to that task, but it's still under strong consideration. One of the great stories from Jeremiah is found in Jeremiah chapter 36. You may remember that God gave Jeremiah a scroll and he told his prophet to write some information down, and the prophet was obedient. The people were to receive this information, and once they read it, they were to have an incentive to repent. Eventually, the prophet's message was brought to the king. What Jeremiah had written down made its way all the way to the top. At the time was autumn. In the cool time of the year, the king was warming himself by a fire. And in Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 23 to 24, the Bible says, it happened that when Jehudi had read three or four columns, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife, that is a pen knife, and he cast it into the fire that was there on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. So here were people who had exposure to God's word, and yet when they had an opportunity, they cut it up, they ripped it to shreds with that knife, and then, of course, the fire that was close by, they went ahead and just said, this is the final straw. We're not only going to destroy it by using a knife on it, but we're actually going to burn it as well. At times, we see flag burning in the United States. Sometimes that's the right thing to do. Old flags are tattered and they're problem-ridden, so there is a proper way to dispose of them. But you also, if you follow the news, you find examples of people who burn flags in a way that shows contempt. Common thing. And we can do the same thing for the scriptures. Some of us saw an interesting email a few days ago. Sent it to a few of you. Have an update on it this morning. Story circulated, and this even made some newspapers, that there was a fella, 81 years old, who was burning some leaves outside his house. Well, the story said that as those leaves were being burned in the trash pile, he found a mouse in his house. And he caught that mouse, took the mouse outside to the pile of leaves that were being burned, and he threw the mouse into the burning leaf pile, and that mouse ran back out of the pile, ran into his house, got up by the curtains, and it burned his house down. Fascinating story. People all over had heard about that particular story. Well, you know, we live in a time where there are strange news stories, weirder things have happened. Well, it turns out in this particular case, that story is completely false. The mouse did not get back in the house. It died in the fire. But let's just suppose, for the sake of illustration, that that story were true. You know, that homeowner had contempt for the mouse. He could have done a lot of things with it, but when you drag it outside and you throw it into the fire, you're showing that you have contempt for that particular creature. Contempt for that creature would have cost, had the story been true, that man his house. High price for contempt, don't you think? I would say so, especially when there were several alternatives available. A king's contempt for God's word, Jeremiah chapter 36, cost him. Not going to talk about the consequences of that today, but it was a very costly choice that this king made. And today, showing contempt for the scriptures is still a very costly choice. Not only in this life, people often face the consequences, but certainly in eternity. Think about that man in Luke chapter 16. He showed contempt for the word of God. And again, maybe he wasn't burning the scriptures. Maybe he wasn't cutting them up with a knife. But he made a choice of contempt in the sense that he was not willing to obey what God said. And the Bible says not even a drop of water was going to be given to him. High price to pay for showing contempt to the scriptures. Are we someone who shows contempt for God's word? It's possible that we've just simply said we're going to shut that and we're going to pay no attention to it. That's a destructive choice and it's contemptible. Or it's possible to say, well, yes, I'll kind of look in there from time to time, and yeah, those passages are okay, and those passages are okay, but those others, they simply have no appeal to me in my life. I'm not going to follow the rest of them. That's also showing contempt. And it's also a destructive choice. The only right choice, the only saving choice, is to take the Word of God in its completeness, wholeness, and fullness, the New Testament that we're under, and say, that's going to be what we obey in our lives. We're going to take God's will, the testament that we just remembered through Christ. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. But do we show contempt for the blood of Christ? We do if we're not obeying what Jesus has said. This morning we believe that you're here because you want to do what Christ has said. And we start doing what the Lord has said by becoming a Christian. He came, he said, take up your cross and follow me. And we're told plainly in the New Testament how we do that. To take up Christ's cross, we become a Christian. We believe in the Lord. That's the first step. Jesus said, without repentance, we're going to perish, Luke 13:3. And once we're willing to acknowledge him as Lord, the Bible says those who are believers, the people who have those things in place, they're ready to be baptized, Mark 16:16. And then we continue to live a life that's faithful to God in every way. If that's not the choice that you have made in the past and are making right now, then we implore you to look serious at your life, see what needs to be altered, and decide to change today. If we can help you in that way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the selected song.